Our Bible reading today is Psalm 23, but today we're all going to take part in the reading. Together we will sing the reading, and the version we will sing is badly placed, probably badly timed. It's the version again by Stuart Townend. When he wrote this, he said he did not set out to write a new musical version of this psalm. It happened as he took a break when he was working on something else. And while he was working on this something else, he found himself getting nowhere. So he took a break. He picked up his Bible, and it just opened at this psalm. The tune popped into his head. The whole thing was written in 10 minutes. I don't know about you, but like Townend, when something is right, I find it flows very quickly from me. I either have to get it down very quickly on paper, because I can't type that quickly, or it comes out as an action very quickly. And when it doesn't, and I find myself laboring, struggling with something, I think, okay, this is a slight hint. This is God saying to me, you need to look at this again, because you're not doing it right. It's not coming to you. So perhaps when we find ourselves struggling, we have to step back and say, okay, Lord, where do you really want me to go with this? Because I know what I want to do, but it's just not happening. And often I find myself on a totally different, but more interesting, track to the one I was taking. Now, this psalm is mainly used to provide comfort, but Townend saw that it also provided a lot of movement imagery. And I'm trying very hard, because I use my hands a lot like my mum, not to hit my mic again. So it's a lot of movement imagery. You're walking, you're leading, you're following. So it spoke to him of an active response to faith. That is, we are to live each day believing goodness and mercy are following us, that there are still waters and green pastures to be found. And that is why he wrote the chorus, I will trust. So let's all join together to sing our Bible reading today, The Lord's My Shepherd.
Thank you.
thank you very much. Thank you for doing the discount. I love that. That was our Bible reading and offertory prayer. So we've sung five hymns already. Have you ever wondered why we're actually singing hymns today or songs of praises? Because hymns are a relatively new addition. Does anyone want to have a shot at when hymns were introduced? Yes. The church, it's really amazing that when you've got Israel and you've got David singing, dancing, rejoicing in the praise he gives to our Lord, and then we get the church is born, and somehow over all those years it suddenly becomes sit down, be quiet, listen to your minister, and the only thing we're going to sing is the Psalms. And we're going to sing those very respectfully like this. And suddenly, the rejoicing that David felt has gone from our worship. Now, I do like Psalms, but somehow it became, there's only one way to worship God. And of course, we had a Reformation, so you know all that. It was Isaac Watts in the 18th century. He was there. His father was a minister. He became a minister. And he's there with his congregation looking at them. Smile, please. I'd get you. He's looking at them and he's thinking, they've got miserable faces. They're here because they're frightened into being here. They don't know the joy. They're not able to sing the joy of the good news. So Isaac Watts set about writing hymns that gave that. So next time you see a hymn by Isaac Watts, you know that. So they're really quite a relative thing. Now, the next hymn we're going to sing this morning, as you can see, is How Great Thou Art. And if anyone's been up to Pitlochry, my geography's not good, but this is walking distance from Pitlochry or the Athol Palace. Beautiful place. How Great Thou Art has an amazing story. Now, I don't know about you, but I always thought that the hymns I'd grown up with, singing in church, such as this one, and we sang them at school. In fact, I went to a girls' school and you used to file into assembly every morning and you were given a hymn book. I don't know if anyone else had that experience. And you used to have a assembly, a church service. So having sung it at school and at church, I thought, this is really old. Listen to the words, it's old. But it actually, it's quite a newbie. Would anyone like to have a guess how long this hymn has been in our hymnal? Okay, it's about 70 years old. It's only been sung in hymnal form for 70 years. So this is its story, and I hope you find it as interesting as I did. So there was once a missionary, an evangelist, a cowboy, and I promise it's not a joke, a crusader, and the original composer. And all these people, in one way or another, helped nurture this hymn into being. The hymn actually began its life as a poem written in 1885. The composer was Carl Boberg, and one day he was caught in a thunderstorm in Sweden. He ran home, got home, thunderstorm stopped as it always does when you get home, and he opened the window to let in the fresh air. And in that action of opening the window, He was immediately struck between the severity of the storm he's just come through and the now tranquil blue sky he was looking at, the bird song, even church bells ringing in the distance. And he immediately sat down and wrote, "O Mighty God." This was published locally and sometime later set to a Swedish folk tune. He later sold the rights to his song to the Mission Covenant Church of Sweden. And that was that. However, sometime later, a missionary, a Mr. Hines, heard the Russian translation of this song while he was in Ukraine. And he translated the poem in 1949, and he changed the title from "O Mighty God" to "How Great Thou Art." He published it, and it was circulated to missionaries in over 15 countries. So it's getting out there. In 1954, J. Edwin Orr, who was a British-American theologian and evangelist, so we're up to the evangelist now, heard it while he was in India. And he brought the hymn back to the United States. And he had it performed at a conference for college students, because he was giving us a tutorial there. And in the audience were the children of Tim Spencer. Who is Tim Spencer? I did not know. But apparently, Tim Spencer was a singing cowboy, an actor, and he sang with Roy Rogers. But Spencer also owned Manor Music. And as you may guess from the title, he published Christian music. And like all publishers, he pushed this song. Now, apparently, he and Roy Rogers were in a group called Sons of the Pioneers. You can still find it on YouTube if you're interested in listening to it. They sang this song. They sang it everywhere. So with them singing and the company pushing it, the hymn eventually fell into the hands of a George Beverly Shea and a Cliff Burrows. Do those names ring any bells? Yes. Good, I'm not alone on this. They are mainly known from the Billy Graham Crusades. George Beverly Shea was the soloist in these crusades. Actually, I like Cliff Burrows as well. He was a jolly good singer. Bearing in mind, I'm only 21. I was involved in Mission England when it happened some time ago, and we filled Anfield Football Station. Stadium, not station. So, yeah, it was fun to see them every night. And Billy Graham liked this song so much that he made it his signature song for the Crusades. And that was when it became, or started to become, well known. So really, we're looking at the mid to late 1950s. What struck me in reading all the history and the story behind this song was what an incredible journey this hymn had. It is a wonderful hymn of praise to God. It's an affirmation of our faith. And thinking about this made me think of another hymn, "God is Working His Purpose Out." "How Great Thou Art" took a long time to be known mainstream. But, you know, we look back on its journey and we see all those places it's been heard and sung before it went global with the hymnal. And that made me think to something I just said earlier. Was there a reason for this? Last time I was here, we were reminded God's timing was and is perfect in all he does. Was God working his purpose out in the journey this hymn underwent? Now, we know God works through us, and said like that, it can sound awful scary or daunting, and we may not think we're up to it. But that's okay, because we're in good company. A lot of the prophets God chose didn't think they were up to doing what God asked them either. I mean, if you remember Jonah, he ran away. But at the same time, of course we're up to it, because God wouldn't ask us if he didn't think we could do it. So just a thought. Was there a reason this hymn took so long to get known? The journey it had? And when it did become known, it really did become known globally. So we're thinking about that. We join to sing this wonderful hymn, How Great Thou Art. hymn is by Richard Gillard and is the Servant Song. This hymn reminds us that the way of Jesus is as a servant, and that can be difficult at times for Christians. Service is action, which a lot of us carry out, but it's also the attitude and the motivation Christians have for doing things for others. That is, we have no other agenda than seeking the well-being of others. Because basically, if we make a big deal out of helping someone, well, that's not being like Jesus. That's not helping the people we've set out to help. And they probably won't like our help if we make a big show about it. Jesus empowered people. He didn't diminish them. He was inclusive. We can only serve people if they let us. And that goes for us too, because the second verse of this hymn says, are we willing to accept help when we need it? And with all that in mind, we can see why this hymn is the chosen hymn for parish nursing, which you are all more aware of and know more of than I do, coming from this parish. Parish nursing is all about helping to empower those who are stigmatized, marginalized, just feel not part of what's going on, to take control of their own recovery. It's all about showing God's love and inclusiveness for everyone. And it's done through our actions, through the relationships we build. And I was saying to Barbara earlier, that's something I can relate to from my teaching days, especially in the inner city schools I taught in, building relationships, trust, to empower people to move on, to be part of society, was an important part of my career and not something they prepared me for at uni. But it's there. We are called as Christians to serve. We all have something different to do. Only you know what you are called to do. Service is something that was done in the time of Jesus. Jesus led the way, and it's something that the world desperately still needs today, to see and hear the love of Jesus in action. And we can do that just by being ourselves in Christ. We join to sing, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You.